Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Today I've entitled my thoughts, What Not to Wear. I know, it's a TLC show, used to be, that tells you what looks good on you and what not to wear and what to wear and all that. Guys, before you go fleeing for the door, this is not a fashion lesson, okay? I see some of you are nervous. I saw that, okay. But it really isn't. But I wanted to talk today about the rather deep subject of purpose. It should have reverb. Purpose. Because it's something we all strive for, isn't it? College students, you're trying to figure out what major to take so you can figure out your purpose. Trying to figure out who am I going to marry so they can fulfill my purpose. or so their dad's inheritance can fulfill my... Whatever. You know, it's things we think about. And God's purpose for our lives, awesomely enough... Is that a word? Awesomely? It is now. He had a purpose for us in our mother's womb, Psalm says. Before the foundations of the earth, God knew you were going to come onto this earth, and he knew where you were going to be in 2014 because he's omniscient and he knows that stuff. And he knew the perfect plan for you. In the more tricky bits of theological conversations, some people have extrapolated that out to mean, he knows what I'm going to do and there's nothing I can do about it. I take issue with that a little bit because it also implies that you can't do anything so bad that you can't mess it up, which is not really correct. Because the fact is, just because he knows doesn't mean that you know what he knows that you don't know. Yep, all right. Thank you for that. And one of the greatest gifts, and I tell students this all the time, and Todd gets tired of me saying it all the time. And one of the greatest gifts that I believe God gave us, apart from salvation, is free will. And that two-word phrase that seems pretty insignificant, that doesn't really have a whole lot of syllables in it or anything like that, it shook heaven. The angels never had it. Humans would prove to use it ill. But God gave us free will, unreservedly. He said, here you go in heaps and bounds. And to me, it doesn't make sense. I wouldn't have done it if I were God. I'd have been like, no way. They're going to mess up. I can see this. So we're just going to take that free choice from them. And that would make it better. But he didn't. He said, I am going to give you the power to choose. And we have been suffering ever since. Our lives are affected every moment, every day, every minute by the exercise of free will. Our free will. Our neighbors' free will. Our government's free will. My son's free will. 8 years and I still can't figure out how to get that out of him. Okay. From Adam and Eve on, it's been messing us up. Sometimes it makes us wonder, what in the world is happening? Why is this like this? What good and loving God would allow that? And the fact of the matter is, it's because somebody chose sin. Somebody chose to foul things up, foul up a very perfect world that God had intended for us, and here we are, sitting in our free will. Yay! So today I want to talk to you about your purpose. And if God has a perfect plan for you, if he knows exactly what he wants you to do, how are we going to exercise our free will to get us to where he wants us to go? Because basically, it's not going to be easy. There are so many times when we're going to feel like to choose to going exactly the opposite of the way that God had planned. Our story in Genesis is about Joseph. Joseph is a really good example of God's purpose being worked out in a life. And recently I was reading this story, and it struck me as humorous because Joseph's whole life was made up in his clothes. I don't know why, but it just, all right. And I'm sure that God was not thinking of Joseph's life as a an episode of What Not to Wear. I'm pretty sure that's not what he was thinking when he did it. But Joseph's perilous pursuit of God's purpose, I alliterated because I went to Bible college, thank you, was all wrapped up in his clothing choices. And for this morning, I want to look at these three coats as a means to learn what influences our purpose and how we can exercise our free will to get where God wants us to go. Before we go too far, I want to make sure we're on the same page and that we all know this story of Joseph. And because I don't want to read all four chapters, I shall sum up. And I'm not talking about the earthly father of Jesus. I'm talking about Joseph in the beginning. Okay, good. Okay. Just wanted us to get there. Jacob had Joseph with his favorite wife. Look that up. Google it if you have to. Wikipedia has a great article on Rachel. It does. Mostly right, so it's good. You know Wikipedia. So Jacob had Joseph with his favorite wife, and Joseph became his favorite son. Oh, yay. He gave Joseph a beautiful coat to show his love for Joseph, but shock and awe, I know this is going to come as a shock to all of you, his brothers got jealous. Who saw that coming? Not only that, but God gave Joseph dreams of his future that included his family and his brothers bowing down to him. So instead of keeping that to himself, as one might think to do, nope, he told them. Yeah. And his brothers got angry, threw him in a pit, and then sold him as a slave. That was really... it's a great choice on Joseph's part. He became the head slave in Potiphar's home, and he was doing really well because he remained faithful to God until Potiphar's wife made advances at him. And even though he dropped his cloak and ran, he was accused and thrown in prison. So he was in prison for a long time, and he finally interpreted some dreams of Pharaoh's servants. And then he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And finally, he became second in command of all of Egypt. And his brothers and his family came down and bowed down to him. So God brought it full circle, right? He did everything he said he was going to do. But it took a long time and some major hurdles to get there. So let's look at the first influence that Joseph had. And it's represented by this hoodie. I maybe should have gotten a coat of many colors, but who would wear a coat of many? Come on. But this Under Armour hoodie, they're cool, I think, because my son keeps asking me for one. And they're not colorful, but they're too expensive. So maybe that counts. Joseph's awesome coat was ornate or colorful, wherever you fall in that interpretation of those words. And it was all of this because he was the favorite. And like he was the second youngest of 12, so like that meant there was a lot of people upset with him. Okay, it wasn't just like one older brother was like, okay. Then God gives him these beautiful dreams of his family coming down and bowing down to him. And God gives him clear purpose and clear vision for his life. He, like, laid it out to Joseph. That never happens to me, but Joseph, he had it laid out before him. God was like, this is what I want for you. But Joseph, he decides, he chooses to mess things up. He boasts to his brothers and he about these dreams and his fathers, as bratty, spoiled younger siblings tend to do. Can I get an amen from the older siblings in the crowd? Hallelujah. Oh, little brothers, okay. Oh, my little brother doesn't listen to this podcast. Love you, Mark. Okay. And all of this represents the first influence that we have on fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, and it's us, it's you. You have the first influence on how to get from point A to point C where God wants you to go. The biggest influence, the biggest hindrance, the biggest asset, the biggest obstacle is all you. And this first coat reminds us that God had a perfect plan for Joseph's life, and he has a perfect plan for your life, but you are capable of derailing it. You are capable of making it go the exact opposite direction. Joseph got mouthy. He said things he shouldn't have said that caused him to get thrown into a pit. And you can make a good argument that Joseph's brothers shouldn't have done that, or that Jacob shouldn't have had a favorite. Let that be a lesson to you, dads, I guess. But however you slice it, it was Joseph's pride that got him thrown into a cistern with no water. And there he was. And then he got sold as a slave. Okay. Joseph was given these dreams from the Lord to give him guidance and faith for his future, not to lord it over his brothers. His insensitivity and immaturity cost him. This colorful coat was a symbol of his current position. His dreams were a revelation of his future position. And Joseph got wrapped up in both. In our lives, we often put pride, ambition, self-preservation, self-promotion in the forefront of our decision-making process. It's a me-first mentality. What's best for me? What do I get out of this? How does this benefit number one? And these thoughts are usually the very things that get our eyes off of God and on to what we want instead of what he wants for us. This business of being in control of everything is tricky. We all want it. We all want control of our lives. We think we should have control of our lives. It seems right that we would make those decisions. We want to call the shots. We want to know what's happening next. And it's tempting to take the reins from God and say, omniscient, all-powerful God, let me do that. But just like Joseph, it's going to mess up our lives. Of course, God can salvage it, salvage whatever we mess up because he's gracious like that, and he'll do it if we ask. But why? Why would we choose a permissive secondary will when God has a perfect plan for us if we'll just follow him? Why would we choose second best? It doesn't even make sense. So the first coat that we shouldn't wear, the first thing that we have that is what not to wear is the coat of you. Get that off. Let God have control. The second influence of God's purpose is represented by Joseph's slave coat. For this morning, I thought of like a fancy coat and tails. I should have rented a suit, but budgetary constraints, you understand. Okay, so we'll just use that. And you know, for the second influence that was on Joseph's life and the second influence that we have of fulfilling God's purpose in our lives is other people, right? I'm not saying anything totally dramatic here, right? Whoa, earth shattering. Okay, Joseph was doing well for himself. He was the head slave in a wealthy house. Genesis 39:4 says, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him," meaning Potiphar. "Then he made him overseer," Potiphar made Joseph, ooh, that's a lot of pronouns in here, "overseer of his house. And he all that he had, he put under Joseph's authority." So for Joseph, this was a pretty good gig. The coat he was wearing didn't seem too bad at all. In fact, for around 13 years or so, he was the head slave of this house, which for a guy like him, you know, out of a pit into a, that's a good thing, you know, better than the pit. And then Potiphar's wife exercised her free will. Yay. And she caught him by the cloak and told him to come to bed with her. Genesis says that Joseph literally left his cloak and ran. He was trying to do the right thing. He didn't want to disobey his master or God for that matter. He was trying to do what was right. So he got rewarded for his righteous actions by being thrown in jail. Sometimes we feel the same way, don't we? Sometimes we feel like our lives are at the mercy of other people. That boss that fires us, that colleague that used us to get the promotion, that family member that abused us. We feel like we're tossed to other people's whim. Like their decisions just, we can't even help it because they're calling the shots and there's nothing we can do. We may even feel and certainly can be oppressed by the devil himself. Somebody is preventing us from doing God's will. I know how that feels. I have been there. I could tell you stories of places where I have found myself and I'm going, Lord, I am in prison. And we can exercise our free will in this too. We can choose to become bitter and want vengeance or get even. We can choose that. Or we can choose to let God take control of the bad situation. Chances are he knew what was going to happen because he's God. It wasn't a surprise to him that you wound up in prison. And we have to know that God is bigger than the people who are getting in our way. Joseph was a slave for many years, and he was in prison for at least two, so he could have gotten bitter. He could have gotten mad. He could have sought revenge on his brothers, and none of us would have blamed him, right? I wouldn't have. That's a horrible situation he found himself in. But he had a promised purpose that God was working on. He had a promised purpose from God himself. And all Joseph had to do was let go of the coat that other people had put on him and run. We can't get caught up in the coats others put on us, even if it's a good one. Can I just caution you now? Even if it's the CEO, even if it's the best thing that could have happened to you, if it's not God, drop your cloak and run. Because we have to seek God's perfect purpose for us and not other people's. You have to passionately pursue God's purpose and not let other people influence you. The third influence in our purpose pursuit is represented by Joseph's linen robes from Pharaoh. For this morning, I just tried to find Todd's snazziest suit. This one in the picture, $80,000. I found one that was $100,000, but it just wasn't even pretty, so I didn't put it up there. I don't know who would pay that much for a suit, but you could tithe on that. That'd be good. Okay. That was wrong, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. So the third influences is the one that really matters, or at least it's the one that should matter to us. Because the third influence on fulfilling God's purpose for your life is God. Genesis 41:41 says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all of the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck." You see, Joseph had suffered, found favor, was raised up, suffered, found favor, and it was a pattern that he was experiencing. And God was always right there. He had an end goal in mind. And Joseph, all he had to do was remain faithful to God. Joseph valued his coat of many colors and what it represented. He valued the cloak that Potiphar gave him and what it meant. But God's vision, God's purpose, God's outfit that he wanted to put on Joseph was so much better than he could have imagined. He even accessorized, girls. Hallelujah. Rings and gold chains, that's what I'm talking about. All right. If we allow God to work in our lives through righteous living and faithful obedience, he's going to do something in us that is far more perfect than we can imagine. God designed you for a specific purpose. He put you on this earth for a reason, regardless of what anybody tells you or what kind of mistake they say you were. God has a reason for you to be here. He knew when and where you were going to show up on the big process, and he has his kingdom building process. He has a small part of that just for you. That's what he designed for you. That's what he has for you. Psalm 139:13. This is a long passage, so just stick with me. And it's in, I used Amplified because it was cool. For you did form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you. You are fearful and wonderful. And for the awful wonder of my birth, wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors. See, he has a better coat. In the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. Oh, how vast the sum of them. Man, God saw you, and he said, oh, do I have a purpose for Paul? Oh, do I have a purpose for Barb? Grace, he's got an awesome purpose for you. God knew what he wanted you to be, and he knew what part in his kingdom he wanted you to play. Let him clothe you the way he sees fit, thank you. Let him be the influence that leads you to his purpose. Let his coat be the only one you put on. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, isn't it? Why not? Why not go for that one? His perfect will instead of sloppy seconds. God has a beautiful plan and a purpose just for you. He wants you to fulfill it in his timing and in his way if you'll just let him. Exercise your free will in that this morning. Don't get caught up in what you want or what somebody else wants, but let him work out his perfect plan in you. Maybe you haven't figured it out yet. Maybe you're somewhere you say, I don't even know what it is. Hang on. Maybe you're in the pit, but Egypt, she is a coming. Maybe you say, it's too late, Ange, I missed my opportunity, I messed up. I can guarantee you that's just not true. I was hanging out with the prime timers the other day. They are awesome and they can cook. Hallelujah. And they reminded me of a story of my great-grandma, okay? Here we go, great-grandma stories. I probably told you this one already, but that's okay. She was in the nursing home for about 8 years, and she was 99 when she died, so I'm not talking about a spring chicken, okay? She was old. Let's put it out there. And she had loved the Lord her whole life. She had children serving the Lord. She had grandchildren serving the Lord. She had great-grandchildren serving the Lord. She had great-great-grandchildren serving the Lord. She had done her stint. She was head of WM. She taught Sunday school forever. You know, she had done everything that she needed to do. So when she went to the nursing home, she could have quit working for the Lord and no one would have said anything. She had done her time. But that's not my grandma. Because when she was when she was in the nursing home, the nurses told us that she would get in her little wheelchair and she would wheel herself into somebody's room if they needed encouragement or if she knew they were dying, and she would hold their hand and she would sing hymns to them. And the nurses said you could hear her. She was not a singer, people. But you could hear her all around the nursing home singing Amazing Grace and holding their hands until they met the Lord. You see, she looked for God's purpose for her. She wanted to fulfill God's purpose for her. And even at 99 and in a nursing home, she didn't give up her passionate pursuit of God's purpose. What's your excuse? What thing did you allow either from yourself or somebody else to get in the way of what God had for you? What thing did you say, you don't understand, Ange? It was too bad. It was too much. You don't understand what has happened to me. I don't think I can ever get over it. Make the choice today to allow God. Allow God into your life, into your situation. Allow him to let you become what he had in mind. Make his opinion the only one that influences you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.